Welcome to the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org. Enjoy the podcast.
He was a son of a coal miner in Germany, and his name was Martin Luther. His father wanted him to go to law school, so off to law school he went. And on the way, he was caught by the attention of a thunder lightning storm that terrified him. And he thought he heard the word of God speaking to him, the message from heaven to earth: get yourself to a monastery. And so Martin Luther went to a monastery, thinking that's where he was supposed to be to find his identity, who he truly is, and what God was trying to do with his life. And while he was there, he was under the spiritual formation about becoming a leader in the movement of the church. That led to one day when he was supposed to lead into the high worship experience called Mass. So his family joined with him. His family traveled from a long distance to be able to be there in that monastery at Wittenberg on that particular Sunday. And the high moment of Mass, as many of you know, is when the priest will say the words by which communion is to begin, called the Eucharist, and he says, "Hoc est corpus meum." Today you know it as hocus pocus in many circles. But hocus corpus meum is in Latin meaning, "This is my body." It is the body of Christ. It is a high moment in the experience to prepare for Eucharist. And when the priest says those words, the power of God's presence becomes uniquely present. And Luther couldn't say the words. He held up the bread and he held up the cup, but he could not say the words because he was terrified about the intense presence of God that would happen in that moment. And he had an identity crisis and a faith crisis. And he left the sanctuary that day seeming as an utter failure. But it really broke open the door for him to discover who Christ really is and who he really is in light of Christ. That led to an experience 4 years later, when on the October the 31st of 1517, he nailed onto the door of the church at Wittenberg what was called the 95 Theses, one of the most profound historical movements registered by all historians, and in the life of the Christian movement, the life of the church, one of the most significant movements of all time. Now, what happened? This fellow was on a way to discover what you and I need to discover in our life. Who are we in light of Christ? And what does Christ want to do in our life and to work through our life within this world? What Luther discovered is that he could not play games. His life is too short, it is too important, and God is too real to play games. There's something that has to happen as a breakthrough where we take off our pretensions and get into the real experience. And that real experience began 500 years ago this month, what's called the Protestant Reformation. Now, this is not a story in history, though history is a living power of God's witness into the world. It's a story for us today in a key book in the Bible that shaped the life of the church through the ages, and the life of the Reformation and the life of our today is the book of Romans. It's the first book written by Paul that's listed in the New Testament. It shows up right after Acts. And so this month, we're letting God, the Holy Spirit, speak to us through his scriptures in Romans as we also ask the question, how is God wanting to form our life today? The reformation of our lives. And here's the good news for you. As we step into our fully identity in Christ, it's the unifying force of Christ that we can have this one identity that enables us to do our diverse responsibilities and various forms and titles and yet be one person. Now, I'm a pastor, I'm a husband, I'm a father, I've been a son and a brother, a friend, known in different circles in different ways by different people, and like you, I just go frantic in life if I was always trying to keep up with, now who am I now? But if there's a unifying force to create an identity for me that I can be who I am wherever I am and my diverse responsibilities, then I'm not schizophrenic in my faith, in my life, but I'm made whole. And there's only one force that has the power to do that. And that's the force and the power of God, and God revealed in Christ Jesus. This is the good news for our world, and the word gospel means good news. So when you see the artwork of Martin Luther, and then next to it you see another Martin Luther, the Martin Luther King Jr. Now, most people who think of Martin Luther King Jr. don't think about where his first two names came from. And yet, it was given to him not only because of his name of his father, the senior, but it was given to them because of the force of God having a vision for the future and that their role to play in the shaping of the future. We know that we're living a changing world, and the changing world in which we live in can either go to be made in the image of the evil one, either go and to be made in the image of an identity that will destroy us, or it can be made in the form of an identity that will make us whole, make us true. So, when Paul would write in the New Testament, I am. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm crucified with Christ, but nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives through me. And the life which I now live in the faith, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Or his passage read by Wayne and Mickey this morning, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the cause of salvation for the Jew, for the Greek, and for me. The identity of Paul writing I am is that he was sharing the promise for us. We can truly know who we are, and it makes all the difference. Three applications. Know who you are in Christ, your true identity. This is a photograph of a member of our church, Bill Haley, who turned 95 yesterday. This is a photograph not of yesterday, but a few years ago. In World War II, when he was serving as a bomber pilot, helping to set a people free from the bondage of the evil of a Third Reich. And the Third Reich was trying to take their identity and put it over the whole world. And so great forces fought against that evil. Bill said what got him through then was the full identity that he was in Christ, and the word came back of one soldier whose life had been saved because he had just put a Bible over in his pocket, over his heart, and that Bible took a shell. And when Bill heard that story told by a surviving serviceman, it reminded him that our lives are held in the hands of God, whole and fragile. He went on to have a distinguished career, Bill, in law and a leader in our church life today. A life in Christ lets us know who we are when we're in our 20s and looking, you know, handsome and strong and vibrant. It takes us through every stage of life so that we can feel that same strength beating inside of us and we can always know our identity. Do you know who you are in light of Christ? At that crisis moment of faith, Luther knew that he didn't know who he was, and he was meeting Christ face to face, but he had to learn how to trust himself in Christ by accepting the grace of Christ. And it made all the difference. So this passage of Romans 1:16 through 17 again highlights about the power of God. The power of God that's revealed in the gospel that shows us the righteousness of God, who God is. That's why the gospel is good news. It reveals God to us. It reveals the power for our lives. And then it gives a phrase that the righteous shall live by faith. That's a quote not from Paul in his day, but he goes back into the Old Testament by the prophet Habakkuk, who wrote, for the righteous shall live by faith. And when Luther read that, it made all the difference. He knew then he didn't have to earn and work his salvation. It was a gift of grace. And what he had to do was offer his faith and to receive the grace in the one and only Christ, the power of this Christ. When I lived in Kansas City, one of my friends was a cantor in the synagogue. So this Jew and Baptist would play tennis pretty often through a stretch of time. And he said, you do know, as we approached Reformation weekend, he said, you do know where Paul got his insight that the righteous shall live by faith. And I said, yes. And he said, you just remember that came from the Hebrew scriptures. I said, I got you. He said it was by the prophet Habakkuk, and he said, the righteous shall live by faith, and so you really are indebted to us. And I said, you're right, but Paul completed the story. Now, we're volleying back and forth, tennis balls, having this conversation. He was a wicked server, but I could volley pretty well with him. He said, so you're trying to say to me that Paul completed what Habakkuk was saying? And I said, absolutely. That's the good news. The righteous shall be revealed by faith. He said, let's play another game. The sense in all of our conversations with whomever we are, there's a guiding force that hangs us together. And it's the force about the power of this gospel of Christ. Know who you are in Christ. Experience then. When we know who we are in Christ, then we're able to experience the gospel's power shining in you. That is the shining force within your life. I want to give you a good news story about a way that you helped a couple, and you may not even know that you were a part of this. I got a call on one rainy morning. The sun was not shining. It was by Gary Higgs, the leader in our church's life, a chaplain. He heads up the chaplain ministry for Bexar County Sheriff's Department. Gary called me and said, Pastor, I need some help. Said, I'm supposed to perform a wedding ceremony, and where we were going to have this wedding, it's not going to work because of the heavy rain. Can we come to the chapel? And I said, sure, and I made a call. And best I knew, everything went well. Yesterday, I got this email. Reverend Holland, my wife and I would like to thank you and the church very much for allowing us to use your church. I will tell you this story. Many times I prayed to God asking him if my marriage was in his will. My prayer was this: God, if you don't want me to marry, then close the door. If not, I'm going to walk through it. I said this many times leading up to our marriage, including the night before we married, just this past Wednesday night. Now, on my wife's and my wedding day, we were supposed to marry in the park outside the Towers of America. However, the rain caused a change of venue. My point in telling you the story is God answered my prayer. He said, you will get married in my house. Nothing is ever an accident or a chance with God. God allowed my wife's and I passed across with Chaplain Higgs, and in turn, he had a connection through you to marry us in a church at Trinity. As they say, God works in mysterious ways. Signed, Mr. and Mrs. Guzman. I mean, they wouldn't be married today if we hadn't opened up the church house. It was a sign of God for them that they saw that their identity was to unfold in this surprising way. God provides, if we will have the eyes to see, to experience him shining through. So Paul, again, in the book of Romans, he's getting this message out to the capital of the Roman Empire, and he says, now, but my God demonstrates in his love for us is this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The identity of God in Christ, willing to die on the cross for us so that we could have our identity in him and the power of the resurrection and let his light shine through. That's the gift of life. That is the good news in the storms of life, in the storms of a Hurricane Harvey. It was T. Wayne Price, the pastor of First Baptist Church, Refugio, Texas, who after Harvey devastated the Refugio community and damaged the sanctuary. He went into the sanctuary one day recently and prayed this prayer.
Oh Lord, we come to you on this beautifully sunny day to thank you for who you are and to acknowledge that you are our God. I come to you, oh Lord, because you're faithful God. And I pray for the thousands of people along the Texas coast who have been affected so drastically by the hurricane. Oh, Father, overshadow them, comfort them, and somehow in your omniscience, bring them to yourself in these days. Oh, Lord, cause them to know of your comfort, your mercy, your faithfulness. Cause them to be overwhelmed by a sense of your presence, your nearness, your love and goodness. You are our refuge and strength, our ever-present help in time of need. Provide their needs, O Lord, and cause this family, this part of your church, to be stronger, more like Christ than ever we've been. This is my prayer, trustingly, believingly, dependently, through Christ my Lord. Amen.
Through Christ my Lord. Amen. That over the storm was the Lordship of Christ. And as devastated community is the hope of Christ shining in. A prayer being answered and that touched us. So right now there's a work mission action crew in Refugio helping in the rebuilding of a home of Casey Henderson, who is a high school football player. 4 weeks after Harvey hit, he was making a tackle on the football field and broke his spinal cord. Been recovering at University Hospital. Many churches are helping. But we're stepping in with our tool trailer and volunteers. Maybe like you, at some time in the October, you'd like to take a day and go to Refugio and simply help in the reconstruction of either the sanctuary at the First Baptist Church or at Casey's home. See, there are all kinds of forces trying to destroy our world and create despair. But it is the force of the Christ, the resurrected, which is our hope of glory. In the reformation of the life of the church in our 21st century, there are forces seeking to destroy the work of the gospel in the church. But the people of God, allowing Christ to be our identity, then experience the shining power of this Christ. See the gospel. See the gospel's power that enables you to see everything else. You know, the truth is, when we look in the daytime, we don't see the light. But what we benefit is, because the light arrives from the sun 93 million miles away, 8 minutes after it leaves the sun's surface, we see the benefit of the light from the sun that enables us to see everything else. That's the power of what a faith in Christ does for us, is that it enables us to see the world really as it is. What sin does to us is that it will give us a false self. It will knock us off balance and try to rebalance us in an identity of who we really aren't. But in Christ, we really are found in his grace, mercy, and power. Power. Can you focus on a time when Christ first became real for you? And what's your updated experience of that wake-up experience with Christ in your life? It may be that today is the day where Christ becomes real for you in such a way that he will be real in your life for the rest of your life, because he is the source of your identity. That this is the day that you step into that truth and experience. Or this is the day that you update what you see in light of him. We don't play games. Life is too short, too important, too filled with really the good, fun stuff of life to play a game, particularly with something as important about who you are, your real self. And so as we stand and offer the experience in this prayer, I want to read this passage again to you. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God. And what is he doing at the right hand of God? But he is interceding for you and for me and for our world for this very moment.
We hope you enjoyed your segment of the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org.